Good evening, everyone. The very last time I wasn't in shul on a Shabbos was around 25 years ago, when I was in the hospital recovering from surgery. And the time before that, I don't even remember. And I'm sure that each of you has a similar story, because that while there are some who, because of work or other necessities, may miss a minyan during the week, who misses Shabbos? That's all about to change, not just for you and for me, but for Jews around the world who together will not be together this Shabbos, nor the week that was, nor unfortunately the weeks that are about to be. We won't be together in shul. And so this Shabbos, we'll daven by ourselves. And we'll read the parsha by ourselves. And for some of us, we may even eat the Sudota of Shabbat by ourselves. In 1860, Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch wrote an article in his journal, Yeshurim, in which he proposed a radical idea. He proposed voluntarily closing the Orthodox shuls in Frankfurt to redirect the attention of his community away from synagogue-centered life and back to a life centered on Torah and the Jewish family. As Rav Hirsch wrote, the closing of all synagogues through Jewish hands would constitute the loudest protest against the denial of the divine law and life and home. It would give the most drastic emphasis to the truth that divine Judaism embraces and dominates the totality of Jewish life and does not find its fulfillment in the halls of prayer or worship. This Shabbos will be surreal as we light candles and have nowhere to go. But that nowhere can bring us back to an understanding that Jewish life is not limited to a place of brick and mortar, but to a place in our hearts and our minds. And that nowhere can help us appreciate Torah a little bit more as we spend Shabbat alone with our books, our sfarim, our learning, our tefillot, and our zmirot. And for those of us blessed with families, this nowhere can help us appreciate our families a little more. Learn to enjoy once again each other's company. And most importantly, realize how much more we need to welcome into our lives those who may be alone. This Shabbat may be surreal, but it will be a real Shabbat, a Shabbat filled with mitzvot, with sanctity, and with the challenge to find new meaning of what together really means, which is the message that we find in the opening of our parasha. The words, Vayakel Moshe et kol adat b'nei Yisrael, the unusual action that Moshe Rabbeinu took to gather the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, Ela advarim asher tziva Hashem lasot otam. These are the things that God has said to do, which seems so very simple to understand. And yet, why did Moshe need to gather all of the Jews if ultimately his primary directive was going to be given to the artisans and the skilled laborers who would build the Mishkan? Why did he need Kol Adat B'nei Yisrael, all of the Jewish people present in one place? The Ramban suggested that this gathering was intended specifically to create a show of unity prior to the building of the Mishkan, to recapture the experience of Achdut that existed when the Jewish people had first appeared at Sinai. Because for the Ramban, The Mishkan was a movable, portable version of God's revelation at Sinai. It was given as an atonement for the sin of the golden calf and was an expression of a new covenant between God and the Jewish people. And therefore, the people had to come together symbolically and literally to create a Brit Chadashah, to press the reset button so that their relationship with God would once again return lekadmutam, to what once had been a relationship of love, ahavat kulatam, between God and the Jewish people. However, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal saw something else within these words of Vayakel, for he explained that the reason Moshe gathered them together was to restore the relationship that he, Moshe, had with the Jewish people. After all, when the Jewish people built the Egel HaZahav, the golden calf, they did so because they felt that Moshe Rabbeinu had forsaken them. And then, when Moshe finally returned, he was no longer their loving leader that they had once remembered, but a fiery zealot who ordered the death of thousands. And so now, when the Mishkan was about to be built, when the sin had been healed and the nation ready to reconnect, Moshe gathered the people, Vayakel Moshe Ta'am, to rebuild their trust in him. Vayakel Moshe. Whether Moshe Rabbeinu assembled the people to reconnect with God or reconnect with him, it transformed the nation. It showed their unity and their willingness to build, despite the destruction that had occurred. This Shabbat, as we read of the way Moshe gathered the people, I ask you to consider all of the many organizations that have rallied together at this time of need. I ask you to think about the joint statements of rabbis from across the spectrum of Orthodoxy that have directed our actions, and even about those who have ventured out of their own safety for someone else. I ask you to think about the chesed that is being done and that needs still to be done and will occur. And I ask you to consider the ways that the response to this crisis has been so very extraordinary. From the more online opportunities for Torah learning that have appeared, to teachers, parents, and children who have discovered ways to continue to learn, and of course, to all of the many volunteers who are working tirelessly to make our community safer and healthier. I want you to think about all of these things and then ask yourself, is our togetherness of this Shabbat anything less than that which Moshe Rabbeinu had achieved? Are we not drawing closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu despite the closing of our shuls and our schools? Are we not learning that harsh expectations of leaders are truly the expectations they deliver to us because of their love for us? Are we not more together this Shabbat, even when we're not? May we all have a Shabbat Shalom.